God's word for you, 1 Corinthians 5, verses 12 and 13. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those who are inside that you are to judge? But those who are outside, God will judge. Remove the wicked person from among you. The Corinthians thought very highly of themselves, but Paul quietly explains himself to them in ways he would not have had to, I think, with other groups like the Bereans or the Ephesians. There is a double standard in the church that is necessary, even though God only has one standard, which is his holy will, and that double standard is this. The church does not judge those who are outside the church, but only those who are within. I may know of terrible sinners in my community, but if they are not part of the church, I will not confront them in the way I would if my friend in the church was sinning. God will judge those on the outside. Now, this doesn't mean that we give up on the outsider. The goal of evangelism is to bring unbelievers to faith in Christ. Well, Paul finishes this chapter with a much needed, or rather much repeated, quotation from the Old Testament. And it's often translated, "You must purge the evil from among you," and this is repeated in Deuteronomy 21:21 and 22:21 and Deuteronomy 24:7. And in those verses, the verb purge comes from the root word ba'ar, meaning to burn. Now, in the intensifying pial conjugation in all of those verses, we have an interesting phenomenon. The literal sense of the root word burn is taken up by this pial form into the figurative sense, from burn to purge, or completely remove, as if it had been burned away. Christians must, of course, be careful to correctly understand the Word of God. He does not say that we should physically burn with fire anyone who is an outsider and is sinning. It is true that in certain circumstances, the law of Moses actually did call for the burning of certain sinners, but they were always within Israel and not outsiders. And for examples, we see Leviticus 20 verse 14 and Leviticus 21 verse 9. And of course, those laws no longer govern us since Christ fulfilled the whole law for us. But when there is an unrepentant sinner among us and in our fellowship, when correction does nothing to change his heart, according to the steps the Lord gives us in Matthew 18, then we must treat him as if he is an outsider, as you would, Jesus says, a pagan or a tax collector, Matthew 18:17. We also see in verse 13 a proof passage that helps us to understand the divinity of Jesus, that he is true God as well as true man. For while Paul says here that those who are outside God will judge, the apostle also says that all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's in 2 Corinthians 5:10. Now, typically, our dogmaticians, our theologians, have classed our Lord's divine works into 8 or 9 categories: creation, preservation, divine miracles, the redemption of the human race, and then the gathering of the church, the sending of the Holy Spirit, the sending of angels, foretelling future things, and finally, his works of grace in the church. But should we not add to these the final judgment, certainly done by Christ according to his divine nature, as well as his human nature? Paul told the Athenians, "He has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this by raising him from the dead." That's Acts 17:31. Finally, we must ask, isn't it possible for a hypocrite, a wicked man, to conceal himself within the church and to slip past the judgment of simple Christians? Well, our confession takes up this matter. The Apology of the Augsburg Confession says, "We concede that in this life, hypocrites and evil men are mingled with the church and are members of the church according to the outward associations of the church's marks, that is, the word, confession, the sacraments, especially if they have not been excommunicated." The sacraments do not lose their efficacy when they are administered by wicked men, by sinful men, by evil men. Indeed, we may legitimately use sacraments that are administered by evil men. Paul also predicts that Antichrist will, quote, take his seat in the temple of God, that's 2 Thessalonians 2:4, that is, he will rule and hold office in the church. By the way, that's from the Augsburg Confession, Articles 7 and 8, which are combined in the Confession. That's just paragraphs 3 and 4, very early in the section. But Christ will overcome all in the end. Those outside will be judged, and we who have faith will be welcomed home to everlasting grace and life. So treasure your faith and your Savior. There is no greater gift. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's word for you. Thank you for letting me do this.